Speaking today with Brian Smart, who's running for City Council in District B. Brian, first question I'd like to ask is why you're running for this office.
Well, thanks for the question. I think one thing that is important is that when looking at our representation, we have to make sure that it's the people who are not only reflective of the district, but also people who have the, I guess, the experience coupled with the passion for the people. I've lived here. I mean, I'm 23 years old. I was born and raised and reared right here in District B. The people who live here invested their time, energy, money, and prayers in me. And from that, I was able to not only excel, you know, in school, but also excel at other things. I was able to go to Howard University, you know, and what was invested in me was that when you, you know, this degree isn't for you, it's for the community. And what's invested in me, I want to reinvest in my community because I have the, I guess you would say, the political savvy as well as the passion for this area to change it. And I think I'm the best person for the job for not only being a product of it, but also being the person who went off and experienced other things, and now I'm able to bring that here to help my neighborhood and my community.
So your background is with the SEIU, Service Employees International Union, and community organizing. Tell me a little bit about that, and tell me how you have dealt with the city through that job, if you have.
Okay, I think we have to go a little further back before we talk about my job with SEIU. While in college, I had the honor and pleasure of serving all 4 years in student government. My senior year ended up being the president of student population. While there, I served 2 years on the board called the board the Budget Advisory Committee, where we were, you know, tasked with the charge of taking the university, taking it from fiscal mismanagement to, we went from a $50 million deficit to a $50 million surplus, and I'm quite proud of that. Also, while in D.C., I headed an effort coupled with President Obama and the White House and things like that to fight for healthcare reform in that area, working with, you know, local and all the way up to federal government. I was an analyst for Department of Defense. I worked at the Pentagon. I did policy briefs for Congress people and things like that to make sure that we have funding for our particular sector of Department of Defense. Did policy briefs, did budget analysis and things like that. I also worked here in Houston with the Harris County Social Services Office, basically making sure that people kept their lights on and kept their air conditioning working during the summer months, because we know how hot it is. And specifically speaking, when I moved back home this past year, I worked nonprofit Houston Leadership for Tomorrow, where I was able to work with various organizations throughout the city, bringing the best and brightest kids, you know, to a conference where they were able to brighten their skills. I'm a product of it. And then I worked in education, worked with Apollo 20 program over at Cashman Senior High School. And then I worked for SEIU, the Good Jobs, Great Houston Fight. So a breadth of experience, not only with here in Houston, but federal and things like that. So,
okay. What do you see as the top priorities for District B?
Well, thanks for that question. I think major things, economic development, job creation, and education. And I mean education for our youth as well as our working age group, so that, you know, people who weren't able to necessarily go to college or who don't want to go to college are able to get their labor-friendly jobs. They're able to work and provide for their family. They're able to, you know, my dad worked in labor. He did transit work. He was able to put me through school. And, I mean, working with SEIU, I saw how important and, you know, being able to be able to provide for your family and send your kids to school so they can move on to the next level. So.
Okay. Obviously, the big story in the city this past year or so has been the budget. The city has been facing a revenue shortfall, and the budget that they recently passed cut about $100 million out, laid off 747 workers. What is your assessment of the budget that council passed for this fiscal year?
Well, I think that we, I mean, in this climate, you know, Houston, you know, and a lot of other cities similar to it, we have to make tough decisions. And I think that the decisions, I mean, I know we have to make sure that we're, you know, fiscally responsible, but I think that in order for us to move forward, I think we have to look more into revenue streams, because there, if you know, before the cuts happened, the programs and initiatives and things like that that were you know, hosted by the city, they were needed. So I think that we, one, have to look into corporations bearing the brunt of this cost. I mean, paying their fair share. I also think that when you put the burden on citizens, I mean, it's going to cause some type of, you know, uproar, because, you know, you cut, you know, programs and initiatives for the youth, and you're cutting programs that affect a lot of people. So I know they're making tough decisions, but I think that we have to make sure that we're aggressive in finding federal grants and local grants and things like that provides more revenue streams, so we won't have to cut the things that are important to people.
Okay, so in other words, your view is that right, the level of services the city is providing right now, after, as a result of this budget, you would not consider this the new normal. You would seek to restore going forward.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think that's imperative that we do that. And like I said, the way we do it, attracting new business, big business, but also making sure that the business that's here is also bearing the burden as well by paying their fair share of taxes.
Okay. This past year, there was a referendum called Renew Houston, now known as Rebuild Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Did you vote for that proposition?
I voted actually initially against it. And the reason why was that I thought that, you know, the plan that was laid out wasn't necessarily, I don't think it was communicated to the community well. I think that we could have spent more time, you know, when you know, you talk about tax increases to citizens, we have to make sure that everyone understands, you know, the ins and outs of it. I think that it's imperative that, you know, we put forth a greater effort in making sure that everyone's educated. And now I stand on the side that I think that, you know, and if we look at it, you know, at first, the city said, I mean, at first it was going to be one price, and then it was like, we reassessed it, it's going to be a little bit more, and then I think Mayor Parker did a great job, and I've been making sure that what we told the citizens at first, the constituents of Houston, that, you know, it was this much, and that's what we're going to keep it at. But I think that that's why, one of the reasons I didn't support it at first, but now I see the bigger picture. I think it's imperative that, you know, infrastructure and flooding, especially in District B, if we look at it, District B is a huge flood zone. We have a lot of red areas when you look at the flood map. I think it's something that would definitely benefit District B, but I also think that we have to make sure that we're educating the folks on how to make sure they, you know, they're, you know, how to calculate their, how much their fee is going to be, and they know exactly where this money is going to go, and making sure that, you know, the infrastructure and things that we say we're going to do with this money, and not only are we fiscally managing it correctly, but we're also, you know, dispersing the funds across the city that makes sure everybody's infrastructure is improving.
Okay. Did you agree with council's decision to exempt schools and churches from the drainage fee?
Yes, I definitely agreed with that. I think that looking at the educational climate, we're cutting $4 billion, and I mean, it's already scarce in the classroom for teachers and things like that. I think that, you know, we have to make sure that, you know, in every way possible, we're supporting education, and I think that by exempting them, I think that was a great stride, because I don't know if you know, but looking at the you know, overcrowded classrooms and teachers retiring and quitting at an alarming rate, I think that any more burden put on our school system would be, you know, it actually, you know, make it harder for them. Secondly, on the church side of it, churches provide other social services for our communities. I mean, you know, churches reach out to communities, making sure people are fed and things like that. And I know specifically at this particular church that we're in, we provide, you know, clothing and shelter and things like that here, you know, for folks who, you know, live out in this community. So I think, you know, churches are also, you know, they serve as an extra arm helping out city services and things like that. So I think, you know, pastors are doing a great job specifically in District B. So, you know, allowing them those breaks, I think, actually helped our communities more.
Okay. The other proposition that was on the ballot this past year was the red light camera initiative.
Right.
Did you vote to keep the red light cameras or to get rid of them?
I voted to get rid of them.
Okay.
you want to know why?
Yeah.
Okay. I think looking at it, red lights keep citizens safe, not the cameras. And I think that we can revisit the contract, and we can also look further, you know, further down the road, as far as the, you know, because this, the city spoke in November. Overwhelming 180,000 people said no to the cameras, and I think that when we look, when we're looking at this as you know, the government and the representation of our city, we have to make sure that we're, what our decisions we're making is reflective of what our citizens are saying. And I think that more than anything, it's the cameras aren't to keep the citizens safe. There to, it's to provide a revenue stream. And I think that, like I said earlier, we have to look at alternative ways of finding, ways of funding, you know, the city. And I think that that's something that I to this day, I don't necessarily agree with.
Okay. So you would want the council to pursue a settlement to get out of the contract with
yes,
the camera company?
Most definitely, yes, sir.
Did you agree with Mayor Parker's decision to keep the cameras on until the legal decision, until the legal wrangling was over?
Well, I actually think that, that made a lot of sense. But I think in the future, to Mayor Parker, I think it would be in the interest of the city to side with the citizens on this one.
Okay. Council recently redrew its boundaries, did a redistricting, and drew two new council boundaries as well. What was your assessment of the process that was used to redraw the council map?
Wow, I think it was a very interesting process. I think that because of, you know, the city is growing, I think that we have to make sure that we have proper representation to represent these people that constitute the Houston area. So J&K, I'm definitely excited to see, you know, what's going to happen out in J&K. Not as far as, not just election wise, but as far as, you know, what we're able to do as far as representation wise. So I think that, you know, the city, you know, tried their best to make sure that everybody, you know, with the line, some areas in District B were cut out, but I think it was a very, you know, very fair process. So.
Okay. As we speak, council has recently approved a deal at Intercontinental Airport, which is in District B, to rebuild Terminal B, to deal with United Airlines. What's your assessment of the deal that council has agreed to?
Wow. To tell you the truth, I haven't thoroughly researched that. I haven't thoroughly researched it. I know it's about $660 million that's going to be, you know, put into the airport. But in order for me to give you a sound assessment, my opinion on it, I would like to do further research on that. You know, that's all right.
Okay, no, that's fine. I mean, there hasn't been that much information about it, so I'm trying to find out what I can. What is your assessment of Mayor Parker's first term in office?
Well, I think in this climate, she had a lot of tough decisions to make. And while I think she did her best job, and I think that's a good thing. I think she did a good job to make the tough decisions. A lot of times they might not be the most popular decisions, you know, made. I think she still did a pretty good job at that. I mean, though there are a few things I might not necessarily agree with, you know, I kind of spoke to those, you know, the red line, things like that. But I think for the most part, in this climate, I think she's definitely looking at everything from a fiscal standpoint. And I think that's very important. I mean, you know, she was the money person. And I think that she's definitely, you know, utilizing those skills in her position is definitely working out.
What would you like for her priorities to be? What would you think her priorities should be for the next 2 years?
Oh, wow. I'm glad you asked that question. Kind of like I said earlier, we got to find new revenue streams. We got to put in the work to, so that, you know, we don't have to put the revenue, the burden on the citizens first. I think we should be looking for more federal dollars. We should be looking for new business to come to Houston. I mean, if you look at District B, I mean, we have all this acreage of land that isn't being utilized, and, you know, we're in between, you know, the airport and the city. It'd be perfect, you know, perfect location. So I think Houston, I mean, we're in a great position, but we have a bright future to look forward to.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. I don't spend a whole lot of time in this part of town, and it kind of surprises me, as someone who doesn't spend that much time in this part of town, how close to downtown it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see all the growth in East Downtown.
Right.
You saw all the growth in Midtown. What's it going to take to attract that sort of thing to Cashmere Gardens and the Fifth Ward? And, you know, is that something that the residents here will want?
Well, I think when speaking to folks in the community, knocking on doors and asking them, you know, what would they like to see, I think they're excited about growth. I think they want it. They're accepting to it. And I think that, you know, being in this district and not too far from downtown, it provides a great benefit. And I think that, you know, definitely the city should look to District B to put, you know, more economic friendly things here. But I also want to make sure that the essence of the district stays the same. Like, I want, and I think another thing that we have to do, you're probably gonna, in order to attract businesses here, is that we have to put an emphasis on education. And I know that might not be a constitutional or a mandate for the city to make sure education is at the top priority, but in order for us to attract better businesses here and things like that, I mean, you have to make sure that our schools in this district are up to par.
Okay. How would you assess Councilmember Jarvis Johnson, who's being term limited out this year, and how would you as a council member be like him or not like him?
Oh wow! I think Councilman Johnson, he tried his hardest. You know, he did his best in some things, but I think that, you know, considering District B's state. So I was speaking to somebody from Labor, and they consider District B the weakest link of the city. I think that we have to make sure that not only are we doing the work behind the scenes to get District B to be the strongest link in the city, but we also have to make sure that we're carrying ourselves in the public eye in a way that is reflective of what our constituents would like us to. And I think Councilman Johnson did his best at it, but I think that that's something I would definitely be looking to improve on. And I think that one thing that he definitely said that he wanted to see more of is that he wanted to see more of District B, of the citizens coming down to the city hall and talking about our problems and talking about our issues and talking about the positive things as well. And I think that that's something that I would love to build on.
Okay. And when people go to vote this November, why should they vote to make you the next council member from District B?
Well, I think it's imperative that you ask yourself these questions. When I am not, you know, when I can't go to City Hall every day, the person who's voting for me, do they have my best interest at heart? And when talking about me, the answer to that question is yes. Do I have a fighter? Do I have somebody who's responsible and responsive? The answer to that question, speaking about me, is yes. And I think the last thing is, I'm youthful but not inexperienced, and I think District B needs somebody who can dedicate 24 hours, 7 days a week to this job and more. And I mean, I don't have any. I'm single. I'm young. I can dedicate pretty much my life to this area because, like I said, this area has dedicated their lives to me, and I want to make sure I reciprocate that. So in November, you know, somebody, if they're looking for somebody who's a product, a positive product, somebody who's educated, who has the experience as well as the passion and drive and love for this area, I would say definitely vote Brian Smart on November 8th and do my early voting as well.
Brian Smart, thank you very much
for talking to me. Thank you so much, Mr. Kuffner. I appreciate you.